What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
All right, we're almost live. And we're live. Welcome to the WAN Show, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I know we always say we've got a great show for you guys today, but this is one of those times when it's actually true, because sometimes we just say that even though we know that it's not going to be a particularly amazing show. Apple just launched the new iPhone SE. Are they calling it new iPhone SE or is it just iPhone SE? I really wish they wouldn't do that, because SE is like, the implication is second edition or special edition or something. You can't have two special editions because then neither of them are special. But we're going to get into that more later. What else we got, Luke? What else is on the docket?
It is not new. It is just iPhone SE.
Well, I hate it.
I'm not saying it's good. Some dude built a Nintendo Switch from scratch, just straight up, and that's really cool. Also, there's a rumor of quad-core Zen 2 CPUs.
Quad-core Zen 2 CPUs, and we're going to be talking about my crazy plan to ghetto air condition my house for about a quarter of what I was quoted from a professional.
Wow.
Okay. Yes. A quarter the amount. So, you know, when I get a deal that is one quarter the cost, now you got my attention, ladies and gentlemen.
So is this whole person water cooling?
No, there's definitely like actual air conditioning involved. It's not just water cooling. Okay. But it's going to be grand. It's going to be grand, and I'm really excited about it. So let's go ahead and roll that intro. Sometimes I just, like, have no idea what people are talking about, you know? Like, Linus, yeah. That beard is so mustache. What are you talking about? What does that mean?
I have no idea.
How can a beard be so mustache? It's like, how can this show be brought to you by Savage Jerky, Manscaped, and PIA? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, we did it.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, we didn't.
That's what I'm talking about. No, I didn't bother. I just didn't bother. I couldn't be arsed.
We're improving every week, okay?
That's right. We're getting a little bit better every week. I mean, look at his glorious face this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
How much better does his camera look now that he found the power cable? You can't run a camera without the power cable. Now we've learned
this. It's a very helpful piece of the kit.
It's a free tech tip. Well, you actually... Yeah. It's kind of a fake tech tip, because you can actually totally run the camera without the power cable as long as you have the battery.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Unless you also don't have a way to charge the battery.
All right. So why don't we jump right into our first topic of the day? What was our headline? Yes. Apple launches the new iPhone SE for $399. So I guess we're going to end up calling this the iPhone SE 2020, because that's kind of what we've resorted to for deciphering Apple's horrible naming scheme. You know what? Just to kind of stick it to them, I really wish consumers and the media would all band together and start using like the really horrible part numbers that actually do exist for these products, just to be like, look, unless you start calling things something that makes any sense, this is what we're going to do. And the infuriating thing about it is that Apple clearly understands that products need names that allow consumers to easily differentiate one from the other. That's why it's called iPhone 10, iPhone 11. And yet other departments seem to completely not get the memo, like the iPhone department. And that's inexplicable, because the other iPhone department seems to have it all sorted out, where they're like, oh, yeah, the iPhone SE. How about iPhone TE? You know, third edition. Or I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
That would even sound cool to me.
iPhone SE 2. It doesn't matter. Just something so that when people are talking about the product, you know what they're talking about. It's like, yeah, I've got a MacBook Air. That could be any computer. That could be an ancient piece of garbage or a brand new piece of garbage. Like, it could be anything. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, man. Yeah, okay, for sure.
In fairness, actually, we just wrapped up our review of the new MacBook Air. It's a lot better. So it's still limited to a 10-watt cooling solution, which means that quad-core chip in there is not able to stretch its legs in the way that competing solutions from HP and Dell are. But it's a quad core, which means that you actually like can get some real multitasking done with it compared to the last gen one, which, you know, in 2019 was still limited to a dual core design only. So I still would have liked to see the fan, which is present in the computer, actually cooling the CPU. That's a weird one. Okay, it's got a fan. Fan does not appear to have any direct contact with the CPU heatsink. So you know, it's just,
what does it do?
Well, it doesn't cool the CPU, so there's that.
Isn't that like the only thing that would bottleneck on that?
I think it cools the whole system. I think Apple just decided that instead of connecting a heat pipe or like a vapor chamber directly from the CPU to the fan and like have a heat sink there, it's more about just like overall system airflow. So they're making sure that all the components of the board get cooled. Now, they could have done that while also putting, you know, heat sink fins next to it and running a heat pipe to the CPU, but they opted not to do that. So that's the design decision that they made, and it's still, you know, it's still a MacBook Air. Feels great, you know. It's not flexible or anything like that. It's got a lot of things going for it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, could use better cooling, but at least it's got a quad core processor now. Anyway, back to people who didn't get the memo. The iPhone SE. So it's $400. So it's got exactly the same name as the 2016 iPhone SE, and this is pretty cool. It's got the same price, and when you consider that 2016. The last time that Apple saw fit to make a budget iPhone was 4 years ago.
And a lot more people were employed.
It's well, okay, that's a fair point. But accounting for inflation, this is effectively cheaper than the original iPhone SE. And it is a lot more phone for the money. So the specs are actually similar internally to the iPhone 11. So it's got the same Bionic A13 7nm plus processor. I love that industry trend. We don't have a new manufacturing process, so we're just going to put pluses on things. The same 64, 128, and even 256 gig storage option. I am really surprised to see a 256 gig storage option on the iPhone SE. That basically means to me that this is less of a replacement for the original SE and more just an acknowledgement that there are markets like India and America that need cheaper phones and still want to have Apple as an option, but simply cannot afford a flagship current gen iPhone. So this is a way for them to basically make, you know, a budget phone, but, you know, not cannibalize their existing flagship ones.
Yeah.
And just effectively just put the same hardware that people want a lot of storage. Just because you only have $400 compared to someone who can, you know, afford a proper iPhone with $1,000 doesn't mean you don't want to take a lot of pictures, you know. It's even got wireless charging. That's something that I was pretty impressed to see. Stereo audio with loudspeaker, that's really nice to have when you're watching videos on the go. No headphone jack, of course.
One thing I would like to throw in is there's a red edition. And the original, like the first red edition iPhone that they released was, I think, one of the like best looking phones I had ever seen at the time.
Oh, yeah. So it was
probably
hot.
Looks great. And proceeds go towards the fight against COVID-19. So that's cool.
That's pretty cool. All right. So that all sounded real great so far for the iPhone SE 2020 edition. Yes. There are some important cost-cutting measures compared to the iPhone 11 in order to hit that $400 price point. It has an 1821 milliamp hour battery. I don't remember the last Android phone that had a sub 2000 milliamp hour battery. And here's the thing that that just kind of, you know, boggles my mind a little bit when I look at phone pricing. Now, I fully understand that when you look at the BOM cost, the bill of materials cost of a device like a phone, it's really not as simple as just, I don't know, it should be that. Plus, you know, some reasonable markup, let's say 20%. It's not that simple. There's a lot of R&D that goes into creating a phone, and there's a lot of support that goes into moving a product out into the channel and training your salespeople and your customer service people and your technicians and all that. Like there's all these costs associated with bringing a product to market, except for one small problem. A lot of them are kind of fixed costs. So the, you know, what? Dollar? $3? Let's be generous. Let's say it's $5 extra to make that a 2500 milliamp hour battery. I get that it's not as simple as making the phone $405.
Yeah.
How about $409.99? I get you want to hit a price point or whatever, but like personally, I would take, $2,500, like slightly bigger battery over a wireless Qi charging option.
The like, smaller screen and no Face ID sensors will help with the battery a little bit, but nowhere near the gap that has been created by the lack of capacity.
Yeah, not even close. Because you got to remember too, guys, like wireless charging is still, even though I suspect that Apple is taking a much safer approach to it than some manufacturers, like I think Oppo has 40 watt wireless charging at this point. And OnePlus just launched a phone with 30 watt wireless charging that in order to use it, you actually have to use their wireless charger, which has a cooling fan in it that blows across the back of the phone. Like Apple's taking a relatively conservative approach to wireless charging, but the fact that I've got wireless charging, which inherently creates more heat in the battery and therefore will make it not last as long. Maybe Apple has determined through their $1 billion a month R&D budget that it's not too bad, but this is a feature that will make your battery last less long by some amount. And in order to have it, we now have an 1800 milliamp hour battery. That's absolutely brutal.
Someone in Twitch chat, and I think a few other people as well, have said that the Project Red iPhone is raising money to fight AIDS. I believe that is generally correct for Project Red launches, but if you look on Apple's website, it says specifically under it, right next to the Project Red logo, every iPhone SE Project Red purchase new contributes directly to the global fund to combat COVID-19.
Some other spec differences here. 3 gigs versus 4 gigs of RAM, 7 megapixel front camera, so it's a little less than the 12 megapixel unit on the iPhone 11. So there's no 4K video support on the front, and there's no ultra wide rear camera, just a single rear camera, similar to the main camera on the iPhone 11. That should still be a pretty darn decent main camera. Remember, it is still an iPhone. In a nod, so I know a lot of people are really upset that the iPhone SE is not small. People thought the iPhone SE was Apple's nod to people who don't want gigantic phones. As it turns out, it's not. It's Apple's nod to people who don't want whatever current feature they're pushing and need a little bit more time to adjust, I guess. So you're stuck with a big phone. And I say big relatively speaking, like the screen's not that big, but the phone itself is much larger than the old iPhone SE. But what you're not stuck with is Face ID. So if you don't like notches and you don't like facial recognition for whatever reason, you can go back to using a front-facing touch sensor. So it's got a fingerprint sensor in the more traditional iPhone spot and no notch.
What do you think?
I think they're going to sell boatloads of them. The only thing that I look at and I go, yeah, I don't know how I could possibly recommend this to, you know, my auntie or whatever else, is that battery.
The battery, yeah.
Now, Apple has excellent battery management, and it's possible that that Bionic A13 is clocked lower. So we don't necessarily know that this phone actually performs the same as an iPhone 11. We just know that it has the same processor. So it is possible that it will be more efficient, that it, you know, the smaller display will help. But I would have liked to see at least a 2500, 2600 milliamp hour battery in this thing. Other than that, I think it's a fantastic entry level into the iPhone ecosystem because it's priced so low that if you're in a market that does carrier subsidized like payment plan type of phone deals, this is easily right out of the gate, brand new when it launches. This is a $0 phone on a 2-year plan basically, or like $100 phone or whatever the case may be.
I think I saw somewhere trade-ins for $229 or something. Like if you trade in your phone, you can get this one for $200 and something.
Yeah, that's pretty sick. And you guys, like the thing is, there's a lot of people who just, it doesn't actually matter what's out there on the Android side of things. They want an iPhone. And so Apple didn't have to give them a cheaper option, I guess.
To be fair, while they might not like to admit it, I think that's probably, maybe not just as true, but probably close to just as true on the Android side.
no matter what
Apple has to offer, they're going to stick with Android.
You should have seen the toxicity in the comments. You should have seen the toxicity
You're
in the comments
an
on
Apple
my
fanboy Linus.
Yes, yeah, exactly. On my S20 Ultra video, it's still covered in those comments. Like, it's just pathetic how much of an Apple fanboy this is. No, it's pathetic how much you actually, how desperately you want to remove the splinter from my eye without noticing the 2x4 sticking out of yours.
How? Which one do you think you've used more? Which platform?
Android, Android by a long shot at this point.
That's what I thought, but I know you've used quite a bit of
iOS. So I was, I used my iPhone 4 for like 3 years, and then I actually went from that to Windows Phone of all things because I was doing like a review of something, and then that was terrible. And then I was pretty much Android until, which one was it? I think it was the 6S was the one that got me back on the iPhone. The 6S was a freaking outstanding phone. I might have, you know what? I might have daily driven the 6 before the 6S. 6S was awesome. 6 was excellent. And then they haven't won me back
the
since
The 6
then.
Sold a ton, too. That was an extremely ubiquitous phone. The 6S?
Yep. Both of them were, like, kind of awesome. I'm trying to find how long they actually updated the old iPhone SE with iOS.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's like a matrix for how long Apple iOS support matrix support. Oh yeah, here it is. Here's a really good one. I don't have a quick and easy way to screen share this with you guys, unfortunately. But one of the other factors to consider when we talk about budget phones is not just how much you spend on the phone, but also how much value you're getting out of the phone. Like, I like to look at things in terms of like what it costs per unit of time that I actually get to use it. So if we look back at the original iPhone SE, here we go. So that puppy started out with, looks like, I want to say iOS 9.3.
That... Sorry for glaring at the camera. I'm not using a webcam anymore. That's also why it's higher when I'm looking up. But the screen just like got a lot brighter and an icon started flashing on it. I was like, what the heck's happening? I still don't know, but I'm just not going to worry about it.
Shoot. And of course, I'm going on the site and the bloody... So now I don't know what iPhone SE it's talking about. Like already. So support.apple.com. /en-ca/guide/iphone/a-bunch-of-gibberish/iOS. There's a list of supported iPhone models, and I actually have to click on it to see that, yes, that is in fact the original iPhone SE. Apple, you do this to yourselves. You do it to yourselves, and you don't have to. It's completely unnecessary. So
basically,
yes.
every app that like lists what phones it supports is going to be confusing until it gets updated.
So yeah, so the iPhone SE is still apparently supported on iOS 13, and I don't know if it's going to get... See, now how do I look it up? iPhone SE, iOS 14 support? Like, I don't know. Do we know? Thinking why you should have good... Anyway, it's frustrating. So anyway, anyone who bought the iPhone SE at launch got a solid 4 years out of their device. And if you're willing to forego the latest version of iOS for a year, you can probably get away with that. I'd say 2 years, you're starting to push it in terms of app compatibility. If you, you know, also have other gadgets in your life, you're going to run into like app developers that are like, yeah, look, you kind of need to be on a current device. We can't keep, you know, maintaining four different forks of our software for people who, you know, dropped off at various levels of iOS. You done goofed. You need to go a little bit to your right. That. Point it to your right a little more. Yeah, there you go. It looks beautiful.
Okay.
You're gorgeous.
All right. I will make it better next time, not this time.
So I know we kind of mocked it in the title of the video. I think it's a pretty solid way to go if you don't like Face ID. Like, they at least haven't nerfed the performance. I hate the battery. I think the battery is kind of the FU to make sure that people who can afford something else don't buy it.
That's pretty much the only thing on here I could see someone complaining about. It is notably smaller as well. 4.7 inch versus 6.1 inch.
Oh, I was looking at the wrong window there. Yep, cool. All right, so there you go. That's the iPhone SE. I'll be working on a review of it. I mean, the big thing is just going to be like, how good is that camera? How long does that battery life last? Those are the two questions to answer. I suspect the camera will be fine and the battery will be... in another Apple rumor this time, Apple is apparently making modular headphones.
Oh my.
That's right. So they're seeking to augment their AirPods business with a high-end audio product, and they're developing over-ear wireless headphones with parts that can be swapped in and out, according to people familiar with the matter. So this is originally from Bloomberg. There's at least two versions, apparently. A premium version with leather-like fabrics, and a fitness-focused model that uses lighter, breathable materials with small perforations. How fascinating. Prototypes of the headphones have a retro look with oval-shaped ear cups. Okay, I'm gonna stop you right there. Me. Can we stop designing headphones for style? Can we design headphones that fit on the ears of Homo sapiens? How about that? But then again, this is the same company that brought you the, you know, $1 billion a month R&D budget that resulted in a mouse with a charger on the bottom of it. So
I don't surprise me. I feel like I almost don't even get to talk here because I'm the guy that, like, in terms of in-ears, I love the what I think is the original Apple design, where it doesn't, like, stick into your ear. And all the super fancy Apple ones still stick into your ear.
No, the AirPods don't stick into your ear. They're more like their
own AirPods
ones.
Pro, though?
No, the Pros. Yeah, the Pros. Well, they're in-ear
so ones. That's what I meant by the super fancy
okay,
ones.
Okay, you can't have active noise cancellation without, like,
that's
plugging
fine.
The ear
I'm not,
canal.
I'm not, but they're in the super fancy line.
All right, fine. They're super fancy.
And I haven't tried those, but the only in-ears I've ever been happy with are the, like, Apple style ones.
Right. So you're saying you're like a headphone pleb, basically.
Kind of.
All right, fine.
Yeah, because all the other ones fall out. I always forget I think they're called spring clip, but we did this, like, weird video back in the day about this rubbery thing that would, like, hook into the top of your ear in order to keep your headphones in your ears. That was a weird time, but I actually really liked those. I kept them on my headphones for a long time.
Yeah, and I think didn't you end up, like, eventually losing them or something like that?
I don't remember what happened, but I think so, yeah. And then I don't really think they're a thing anymore. And if they are, I doubt they're, like, the right... Oh wow! Googling spring clip does not
wow.
bring it up properly.
I found our video. SPRNG clip. Wow, you look so young.
The store is still up, by the way.
You look like a baby, and you're acting like a child. You're like rolling around in a field. This is a. We must have been absolutely desperate for a video that day.
We were. I specifically remember.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of thing that I probably, like, requested a sample thinking, yeah, it'll never come to this. We'll never actually have to make a video of that in order to hit our upload for a day. And then it did come to that, and we did, in fact, have to make a video about it.
Wow. I specifically remember that I, like, had them in my office for a long time, and we weren't going to do it. And then we really needed an upload. So you were like, hey... time to do the spring clip. And I was like, all right, I'm going to have my roommate tackle me.
All right. Yeah, here we go. I found the original email from Kirk. We follow your YouTube channel and thought you might want to review the new spring clip for Apple AirPods. Here's something new in the product accessory department that your viewers may be interested in. Spring just launched. Love the sound of your AirPods, but can't keep them in your ears. Well, you don't have to replace them. It really does. Like, his email sounds like an infomercial. So I said, sure, we'd like to check it out. Can you send a spring clip and a set of Apple AirPods? We don't have any in-house. We were, like, very not Apple.
Yeah.
Okay, what else did I actually, like, follow up with this guy a couple times? I just received a return to sender package that I sent to you. Apparently we missed the shipment the first time. That was back before we actually had, like, someone to deal with that stuff. Oh, man, that's awesome. Huh. Wow, I was actually, like, very attentive to following up with people. I was like, hey, we ran them through our torture test. They seemed to help them stay in. The video will be up shortly. Like, I sent him all these updates for this product that just 100% didn't matter at all.
No.
Oh, good stuff. All right, so back to Apple's apparently modular headphones here. Prototypes of the headphones, retro look, ear pads and headband padding attached to the frame of the headphones magnetically so they can be replaced by the user. That's pretty cool, I guess. The design may also mean that the same set of headphones would be convertible from comfort to fitness use and back again. They'll apparently use Siri for voice control, what a shock, and have a set of integrated touch controls, and they've apparently been in development since 2018. Their launch has been postponed at least twice. This doesn't really surprise me. I mean, it's not like when they acquired Beats, they were not going to, you know, continue to develop headphones. I think Apple's made it very clear that they're an audio-focused company, whether you're looking at their HomePod or AirPods or, you know, iTunes, hello, iPod. So this is a perfectly natural thing for them to do. I mean, why, you know, this is something that I was trying to figure out back when I was a pretty young, you know, junior product manager. And I was going like, hey, why does Asus need an ROG brand? And why does Gigabyte need like Aorus? And why does, you know, oh, here's a perfect example. What's that stupid glasses company that basically owns every glasses company? You know the one I'm talking about, right? The Italian one?
Essler Luxottica.
Yeah.
One of them does frames, one of them does lenses. Which one are you wondering about?
I don't remember, but basically...
I think they, like, are the same company, though.
Yeah.
Parent company? Essler does lenses, Luxottica does frames, but they're, like, the same...
So
they merged.
The point is, they merged. So the point is, what I was wondering as a young and naive product manager is, why don't they just have one product, like, under one name? It's like, I trust, you know, this name just fine. Why do you need another one? And the answer is so that you can take up more shelf space. If Apple has Apple headphones and Beats headphones, then they can go and they can kind of differentiate them while having a clear identity for both of those brands and take up twice as much shelf space.
The clear identity is, I think, part of it too. Like if you have, I don't know, like when you go through the shampoo aisle, it's the same companies.
Yeah.
But like the same parent company owns the metal shampoo for guys that like cars. And then they also own the like
metal shampoo,
fluffy girl one. I don't know.
Okay.
The branding on that stuff is ridiculous.
No. Can somebody please create that product? I want a shampoo called metal shampoo. There should be actual metal shavings in it.
It comes out.
It doesn't matter
black.
If it clogs your drain because you're a man. You can clear it. You know how
Wash
to plumb.
It shouldn't clog your drain. It should like clear it out.
It should clear
it's,
it
it's
out.
It's drain cleaner at the
oh,
same time.
Lord, I don't think anyone should use shampoo that's drain cleaner unless they're a man. So moving on. So that's a neat. That's a neat sort of rumor. But no surprise, in the last fiscal year, Apple generated almost $25 billion from accessories, including AirPods, Beats headphones, and the Apple Watch. That's like almost as much as it took in from the Mac lineup as a whole, and about $3 billion more than the iPad. The iPad is so just like the redheaded stepchild at this point. I don't think anyone cares about new iPads at all.
Does anyone care about almost any new tablet at all, though?
No, but the iPad kind of bucked that trend for a long time.
Well, I think the iPad Pro thing has like its own space, but it's also really expensive. So I don't know. But I've seen more talk about those lately than any of their other tablets.
Well, I mean, have you seen more talk, though, about our sponsor for today's show?
Yes,
got
actually.
Him. Savage Jerky. This sucks because
this actually does kind of suck.
Yeah, this is the one. This is the one disadvantage to doing this show remotely, because now I want to have some Savage Jerky to celebrate getting paid by Savage Jerky to talk about Savage Jerky, and I can't because I don't have any here because they didn't send me any in my care package today. All right, fine. Well, you know what makes great jerky? You might think it's flavor. And you'd be right, but you'd only be half right. It's full of metal. Savage Jerky is handcrafted in small batches and does not use nitrates or preservatives, so they're able to make amazing jerky that like isn't gonna kill you. So that's good, right? They have 13 different flavors, from their sweet teriyaki to their intense spicy Carolina Reaper, and they don't just make jerky. They've got hot sauces, barbecue sauces, and even a spice rub. I have not tried the spice rub, but I can tell you from firsthand experience, if it's anywhere near as good as the hot sauces or the barbecue sauces, then it's awesome. So go check them out. Use offer code LTT and you can get 10% off Savage Jerky products at lmg.gg/savagejerky. Okay, we've got an old vanity URL down here, but that's fine because we've also got a really, really, like, look at this thing. Oh, there it is. Look at this ancient WAN show logo. This is back before we even, like, centered the hexagon. Luke's tuned out, but that's fine. I'll tell you about Manscaped. Manscaped makes manscaping safe and easy with their perfect package 3.0. For those of you who don't get the joke, manscaping is landscaping your man parts. And the Perfect Package 3.0 is like that package. Yes. It includes everything you need to take your grooming routine to the next level, but like safely. So the main item in the kit is their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, featuring their skin-safe technology, replaceable soft ceramic blades, a 7,000 RPM motor, a rechargeable 600 milliamp hour battery, and of course, waterproofness and an LED light. Because the thing is, there are some places you need to manscape that are so dark you might just need to take a lantern with you. All right? It's not a lantern. It's an LED. It's more efficient solution with less fire in it, which is good because, you know, you let one rip while you got a lantern down there, you're going to have a gas explosion and nobody's going to have a good time. And you're going to have to go and do some awkward Google searches for how to fix these problems. And you're going to want to use PIA to make sure that nobody sees you looking at that stuff.
Wow.
Is PIA in your online security toolkit yet? Well, it should be. Adding a VPN lets you mask your IP and encrypt traffic to and from your devices. PIA has reliable service with over 3,300 servers in 30 countries, and they now feature WireGuard. Woo! It's got built-in WireGuard. Love it! It's beta still, but they're working on it. PIA has no bandwidth caps, so yes, if you had a, you know, gigantic 500 gigabyte, you know, porno ultimate package or something that you were downloading, you could download that whole thing with PIA. You could. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying that you could.
Entirely possible.
You know, people might judge you, but they can't because they don't know. That's right. You heard it here first. Try it risk-free with their 30-day money-back guarantee. I mean, unless they're your mom and they, like, you know, walk up behind you while you're working on it, working on downloading the thing. Okay, look, Luke, I've had enough of your shenanigans. Connect up to 5 devices at once with clients for Windows, macOS, Android, iOS, and Linux. And their Mace feature blocks requests to known malware and tracking domains altogether. Check it out at lmg.gg/PIAWAN. That's right. Oh, right. I can't reach across the... I tried to reach across the thing to point, but I can't. Can you point at that for me, please, Luke? Thank you. A little bit to your right.
I can't see.
A little bit to your left. A little bit to your left. A little bit to the left. I want you centered. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, it's just beautiful. Can I get a little bit of a bounce there? Just like a bit of a bouncing. Oh, wow. It's great. Go to lmg.gg/PIAWAN. All right. I want to tell you about my air conditioning project. Can I tell you about my air conditioning project?
I can't. I want to say one quick thing before we go into that. I love how I was like laughing about products branded for like men and stuff, and then we got Savage Jerky.
Metal.
And then like a manscaping lawnmower and like all this kind of stuff. Just so intense. Sorry. Yes, tell me about your project.
Okay, I am super excited about this project because, as you know, I've been working from home. I haven't had a crew to help me move heavy things around. So C-stands, lights, cameras, tripods, I've been lugging them up and down the stairs, tables. I got to move tables around because I'm trying not to just shoot in the same spot every day. Everything gets, you know, boring and samey. It's starting to get warm. The actual air outside is not that warm, but the sun is warm. And, I live indoors with my windows closed for the most part. So it gets kind of hot in my house, at least for me. Like, I'm the kind of person who's like, I like lift up my phone too fast and I'm like, oh, I'm sweating. Like, I'm not out of breath. It's not like an out of shape thing. It's just, I'm the kind of person that like immediately starts sweating when I do anything. And so I was feeling really uncomfortable, and the straw that broke the camel's back, or should I say the gigantic like 80-pound weight that broke the camel's back, was that while I was moving all this heavy stuff around, my stupid floor-standing air conditioning unit that I put in the kids' room so that they could sleep, because it was really uncomfortable. We've had a couple of really intense heat waves the last few summers in a row. So I finally did it last year. I got these stupid air conditioning units. Don't worry, I didn't pay much for them. I actually got one of them from Nick for like, I think I paid him like $100 for it. It was a great deal. Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome. I'm in a very good negotiating position, you know. It's not that. He actually just wanted to get rid of it. He was like, okay. So he moved and he didn't need it anymore. Anyway, the point is, I finally got a couple of these air conditioning units, one for each of the bedrooms. And I was moving stuff around and I was all sweaty. And then I went and I realized that was in my way. So I had to play, you know, those little puzzles where there's 9 squares and one of them is blank. And you got to kind of move the things around. You've only got one blank square. So this, but my poor kid's bedroom is like full of C-stands and lights and and like monitor boxes and all this crap. And I've got this stupid floor standing air conditioning unit. I've got nowhere to put it and it's heavy. So I have to like lift it up and over something. And I'm like, screw it. I walk into the office where I'm sitting right now. Yvonne's on her computer doing accounting or something, whatever it is she does. And I'm like, okay, we got to get air conditioning. And she's like, we've been through this. We got as far as bringing people in for multiple quotes. Every single quote was between $25,000 and $30,000. Are you ready to spend $30,000? And I was like, okay, forget it. But then I went on Amazon. Okay. Went on Amazon. And I was like, surely there's got to be like some way to do this. Before I did that, first I came up with the idea of tearing apart the floor standing air conditioning units and like somehow ghetto mounting, like putting it up in the attic and like ducting the cool air down into the room and the hot air like down out of the attic and like outside or something crazy like that. And then
one quick thing for the audience, because yeah, there's a decent amount of people mentioning this right now. AC is actually, I would say, probably notably uncommon in at least, I think, all of Canada, but definitely our part of Canada.
Yeah, I think it's more common in the East where they have more, where they have hotter summers, but it's not a given feature here, guys. Okay, so yeah, they wanted, so the reason that it was 30 grand is because my house was not originally designed for it. So instead of, like, I use electric baseboards for heating in the upstairs. So the downstairs has forced air. So theoretically, we could run AC downstairs pretty easily, but downstairs is not where it gets hot. Upstairs is where it gets hot. So upstairs is heated by electric baseboards. So there's no cooling capabilities there. And that means that there's no ducting. So there's nowhere to, like, run the cold air into. So anyway, I came up with the brilliant idea of like putting that thing up in the attic and then like venting the air to the places where it's supposed to go. And I was like, actually, that's really stupid. There's no way that's the best way to do this. There surely has to be a way to do this. So I come across what are called cassette air conditioners. So it's called a mini split cassette. And what it is, you know, the like air vent things that you would find in a drop ceiling in an office?
Huh.
They look kind of like a big, fat, beefy one of those for the evaporator side. So that's the cold side. And then the condenser side is just like another kind of like, you know, boxy, like fan looking unit that just kind of sits somewhere. And it's called a mini split because the condenser and the evaporator are split from each other. And then they've got the lines running between them, the refrigerant lines. So, basically, they're like a grand for a 9,000 BTU unit. And then around, and that's I think USD. Hold on, let me go. So I found this brand that makes them that I assumed was like some weirdo, like no-name Chinese brand or something like that. And I was like kind of worried and sketched out because it was on Amazon and like I couldn't really find any references to them or anything like that. And then I Googled them. It turns out they're based out of Montreal. They've been around for like 15 years. They've got a whole like whack of different product offerings and all kinds of good stuff. And their Canadian pricing is actually super reasonable. So hold on, let me bring up their Canadian website. So they're called Senville, and I don't know how to find their Canadian site right now. It like prompted me last time. Anyway, it starts at $1,000 for a 9,000 BTU unit, and then the 12,000 is like 1,200 bucks. And so I was like, wow, that's brilliant. So all I need to do is just fish the wiring out of the wall, throw this up in the ceiling, and I'm good to go. Small problem. They're 240 volt. So this is not a matter of me just making sure that I'm not on the same, that I don't overload the existing circuits. It's like, oh, I can't actually just run this off of the regular in-wall wiring. Or so I
Yeah.
thought. I was on a phone call with Brian the electrician, and he was like,
Hey.
okay, well, what are you using, right now, something, something, what if we cleared space with your something? And he mentioned my heated baseboards. And I was like, Brian, you're a genius. I don't need the heated baseboards anymore because they're actually heat pumps. So they do both heating and cooling. Because, oh, right, he would, the so his solution,
Oh,
he
okay.
wanted to have like some kind of elaborate, like, changeover switch down by my
Yeah.
panel where I was like, okay, we're
Yeah.
in heating mode or cooling mode. And I was like, no, Brian, you're a genius. They're heat pumps. So we could actually just completely disconnect the heated baseboards and run these in the same places. So
That makes sense.
I'm waiting to hear back from them about how and if I can have smart controllers for them, because what's nice about this compared to central AC is that every room is its own individual zone and can be adjusted one by one. Now there are solutions to that. I've like actually spent a bunch of time researching this junk in the last little bit. What's it called? I don't know how well it works, so don't consider this to be an endorsement of any sort, but there's a company called Flare that makes smart vents, apparently, that will allow you to, if you have central AC, just like the little grills that go on the floor. So they will smart, like automatically adjust, close and open themselves so that all the rooms are like cooled evenly. So I thought that
Oh,
was pretty
cool.
neat. But in terms of like what's built into most central ACs, it's just wherever the thermostat is, that's like the temperature it cools to. And if you're far away from that, it
So
might not be right.
you've clearly accepted the fact that you're going to be punching holes in your ceiling,
Oh, yeah.
but you've considered the whole idea of punching holes in your roof as well.
Okay, so getting back to that, I've got a couple of different options. So basically, wherever I've got a heated baseboard, and I've got, I think it's six of them upstairs, I have the potential to install one of these mini split air conditioning systems.
Yeah.
So, with some caveats. So, the basic, like, 9,000 BTU unit is like 750 watts, whereas my smallest heated baseboard is like 350 watts. So it's not going to be a one-to-one replacement. I don't have enough power. And right, this was where I was originally really running into trouble, was I was like, okay, I'm just going to fill my attic with these things, except that when I installed my electric car charger, I filled the last spots on my panel. So I would have to go to the city, I would have to find out if the lines going to my house are big enough, I'd have to get a permit. I mean, I should probably get a permit for this anyway, but I won't. But I would definitely have to get a permit for something like expanding my electrical panel.
Yeah.
And the city of Surrey is not doing permits right now because of COVID. I know that because we're
Oh.
trying to finish construction at the office, and there's been zero progress.
Really?
Zero progress. Yeah, it's really
I was
frustrating. I know.
oh.
Trust me. I know.
Oh.
I know. I know. So
Okay.
anyway, I was like, oh no, we can't do that. So right, so then we solved I'm telling this story totally out of order, but the point is, we solved the power problem. I've got about 3,000 watts to work with. So I can either do four of those 9,000 BTU units, or I can do like one of the bigger 12,000 BTU ones, and then like two 9,000s, or maybe three 9,000s. Brian says he thinks that's pretty borderline, because you don't want to have too many motors running on the same circuit at a time in case they all kick on at the same time. So anyway, that's my plan. And the total cost, with like hiring Brian for a weekend to come help me with it, because we're just gonna ghetto fabulous install them up in the attic, is gonna be somewhere in the neighborhood of around $6,000 is what I'm expecting. And
It's a
so
lot cheaper than 30.
it is going to be literally about a quarter the like median estimate that we got for putting like a pad outside the house, which they wouldn't even be able to do now because I added the car charger. So that wasn't even going to be an option, doing proper like central AC in this place. And they were going to put in like all this ducting and everything. And I'm sitting here looking at this going, why were you even going to do it that way? Like, I don't mind ghettoing it up a little bit. So options for installing these things. I could put them up in the attic and then like duct the heat to exhaust it out the peaks or under the soffits. But I think it would be better, like better functionally to have it outside just in case there's like condensation or whatever else. Like it would be smarter to have it mounted under the soffit outside or something like that. They're weatherproof units, so I could kind of put them anywhere. But yeah, they'll be ugly if I have them outside, but I think I can probably make do with that.
You could make a thing for them, like a housing unit box thing or something to make it less ugly.
Yeah.
You could mount them in.
They're not, as far as air conditioning units go, they're not horrendously ugly. I wish I had a convenient and easy way to send it. Oh, actually, I do have a way to send it to you. I'm just going to send it to you here. So I'll send that over to you. They look kind of like that. Like, it's not too bad, but I mean, it wouldn't look amazing. What I'm going to start with is I'm going to wait to hear back from them about smart control. It seems like as long as it's IR controlled, this Flare company says they should be able to control it because they just use the same IR signals, kind of like a universal TV remote. So I'm hoping that even if I can't use like a Nest for them, I can use this thing. Works with Nest is, actually, I got an email back from them because I was thinking, well, what I could do is I could use these Flare things and then I could use Nest thermostats to communicate with those or something. And they were like, yeah, it's funny you bring that up. Since August 31st, when Google sunsetted Works with Nest, no new third-party devices can communicate with Nest Smart Thermostats. Google replaced Works with Nest with Works with Google Assistant, which cannot yet control Nest Smart Thermostats for remote sensors. I'm like, thank you, Google. This is exactly what you do. You know?
That's so stupid.
Hangouts and Hangouts Meet and Duo and whatever the crap else, you know, things that do all the same thing and none of them actually do everything. Yeah, Allo, thank you for that. It's so frustrating, you know? It's infuriating.
And when they launched Duo and Allo at the exact same time, I was like, this isn't going to go well.
But hey, you know, internal competition, right? Like, that's the way to build a better product, right? You know,
Duo, Allo, Hangouts. Let's just not make any of them better from the point that they're at now.
Well, that's what ends up happening. Like, they reach that minimum viable product, they launch, and then they're like, well, you know, now...
on to the next.
I feel like in some ways, Google gets trapped in the, like, you know, well, now that we've got this out there and we see all the problems, we've got like this grand vision, but the, you know, the foundation that we laid isn't really good enough to do it. So let's just start over. I feel like they end up in that cycle over and over and over again when it's like, no, just make it like incrementally better, please. Like, yes, yeah. I know it might not be perfect, but if it's good enough that I'm using it now, then if it was 10% better next year, that would be good. You know?
Absolutely.
Anyway,
random thing, you talked about their spice rubs. Yes. I don't know if they would. It doesn't say spice rub on it, so I don't know. But I've been using this a lot recently.
The Herba Blend. I believe that is the spice blend. Rub. Yes.
I know that we're past the sponsor spot, but it took me. I got my girlfriend to toss it to me and stuff. It's been amazing on everything I've put it on. It's been great. So I just wanted to give them that.
Did you try your penis?
No, I didn't.
Maybe you should.
If you bleep those, that bleeps to me too, doesn't it?
Hmm? Penis isn't a bad word.
I mean,
it's not like or you know.
Fair. Yep. That bleeps now. It's honestly like way less shocking. I don't know why. When I didn't hear the bleeps, just something inside me every time was like, no, you can't say that.
I actually like it so much better when you don't hear the bleeps. It's funnier for me because your reactions are just priceless. Every single time your reaction is priceless because you're like, oh, do we swear on WAN show now? I'm so happy. Oh, now, man. I don't have to restrain myself. I can say and shit all I want.
Whoa!
I turned off his bleeps, guys.
I was trying to figure out, I was like, why does the mic sound different? And then just wham.
Yeah. That's yeah, you got whammed. All right. Why don't we talk about the guy that built a Nintendo Switch from scratch?
Yeah.
So is the original source for this actually Imgur?
I think so.
User Sarbaz 37, 3 days ago. Yeah. Do you wanna share this on screen by any chance?
It's a little tricky for me to do right now, but I will try to get that going. Just start the topic and it'll show up eventually.
You know what? It's fine. I'll do it. Why don't you do the topic? You haven't talked much today. You go ahead.
All right. Well, Sarbaz 37, as Linus said, built his own custom Switch from various parts that he bought on the internet that did include a what did they exactly call it? Replacement motherboard. That's where the software came from. Just in case you were wondering, like, how the heck did he get the operating system and everything on there? He's got a list of components that goes really, really long, but most of it's like, you know, pretty cheap, and it equaled about $200. Right now, due to everyone being stuck at home and COVID and whatnot, and Animal Crossing coming out all at the same time, Switch prices went through the roof because you can't find them anywhere, so he decided to build his own. Apparently, the eBay average price was close to two times his bill of materials cost. That being said, not 100% sure everyone's going to be comfortable doing this, but...
Yeah, that is not a small undertaking, looking at that pile of parts.
Yeah. It also doesn't look impossible.
Well, no. I mean, if people can do it in a factory, I'm sure that with, you know, the amazing guides that exist, like, it can be done pretty easily.
I mean, even not for... This looks possible for someone who is maybe at least somewhat comfortable with electronics in general. Like, built a computer before, and if you follow this guy's guide, which honestly looks awesome, you could maybe do it.
Yeah, this looks incredible. Yeah, I love it.
It looks like a really fun project, to be honest.
Really does. Build your own Nintendo Switch for $200. That's freaking awesome.
You should do it.
It's not a bad idea, actually.
You should be like, and like, give him a shout out, whatever. But like, I wanted to see. Having some electronics background, because you've messed with the RC cars and done some stuff like that. I want to see if I can build my own Switch too. I would watch that for sure.
Yeah, I should stick someone on that.
Cool.
I mean, what do you think?
Apparently upwards of $450 to $600 for a used Switch in the Seattle area.
Wow, I should sell my Switch. Dang. I mean, it's crazy. Like, the way that the whole, like, COVID hoarding / panic buying thing is affecting different things, right? Like, first,
yeah,
it was
new
toilet
mic,
paper.
You keep cutting out.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry.
I lost, like, half of it.
First, it was toilet paper that people were panic buying, right? Yeah. And then it was what? What was the next one? I forget. But after that, it was, like, hair dye. Like, everyone was buying hair dye. Because it had been, you know, 6 weeks and people needed to do a dye job on their roots or whatever. And then, like, now it's Nintendo Switches. You know what?
Oh, it's actually been Nintendo Switches for a little while now.
This actually leads really well into one of the topics that I wanted to talk about. So I had a topic in the doc here called I Was Right. I absolutely...
You're legitimately cutting out a lot for me. I can barely understand what you're saying.
Hold on. I will fix it. All right. Look, Luke, I will f-ing fix it, okay? Just have some f-ing patience.
Oh, God. I can't handle that.
Okay, is that better?
That's better.
All right, you're good. All right. All right, so, yeah, so I made a video a little while ago that I received some criticism for. A lot of people were like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. Thanks for the great video. But a lot of people were like, oh, this is like fear-mongering, this is contributing to the problem, this is stupid, or whatever else. And it was called Buy a Computer Right Now, was what that video was called. And what it was based on was like, look, At the time, YouTube was demonetizing, or at least putting limited monetization on videos that talked about coronavirus or COVID-19 or anything like that. So I kind of danced around it, but I said, look, regardless of the outcome of what's going on in the world right now, that was all I could really say. Regardless of that, supply chains have been disrupted. And I didn't say run out and panic buy all the computers. I didn't say anything like that. But what I did say was, if you are planning to buy a computer, do it now as opposed to waiting, because pricing is going to go up. And yeah, there were some people that disagreed with my analysis, with my evaluation. At the time when that video was published, factories were already ramping their production back up. But the reason that I went ahead and I published it anyway was because I knew that those factories weren't at 100%, even when every factory in Asia and around the world is running at 100%, you can still run into dips in supply and spikes in demand. Sure. And yeah, people's behavior was going to be unpredictable over the next little while. So there were all these things that were contributing to me being pretty darn sure that we were going to be in a situation where if there was something that you wanted, you should probably pull the trigger on it today rather than waiting around. And that has turned out to be true. So that video was published on February 29th. So that was about a month, just over a month and a half ago. And if you had bought your Switch on February 29th, you would have paid retail price. And I even made it clear in the video that this was not just about computers. I talked about computers a lot because it's something that I know really well from my background as a product manager for computer hardware. So I talked about that, but I also specifically mentioned badminton shuttles as something that was in short supply and that had prices just skyrocketing at the time. Now, with all the gyms closed, nobody's playing badminton, so that situation seems to have sorted itself out. But
But there's one thing I'll add in here as well, is and badminton shuttles is specifically what made me think of this, because the like plastics and stuff involved, a decent amount of manufacturing has switched over to supplies that are more in need during COVID. Masks, face shields, other things, because I'm not
any
very
personal
well-versed
protective
in this
equipment.
Topic. Yeah. But yeah, so like people making birdies, did you call them?
Shuttle cocks.
Those factories may or may not, I don't know, but they may have switched over to making something else in the meantime. So the demand might still stay pretty high there,
even if the factories are running.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I specifically mentioned other things because that was my point. If there was some kind of frivolous, stupid thing that you were planning to buy, like a toy, like a gaming computer or like a Nintendo Switch or whatever the case may be, you should pull the trigger now. And the supply chain is interrupted at basically every stage now. So distribution, drivers are being pushed really hard right now to get supplies out to warehouses. The last mile is overwhelmed. You can see Amazon has got those warnings on their site that are like, yeah, we have reduced the availability of, you know, whatever, due to there are more pressing things that need to be delivered and the workforce is small and all those kinds of issues that we're going through right now. And so I just want to say that I f***ing called it 6 weeks ago. I said, if you want to buy something, you should buy it today. And another example that is specific to computer hardware, webcams are basically out of stock everywhere. Capture cards, you like cannot get them. Anything to do with game streaming. So Emma's not the only one that's like, hey, I'm not working right now. You know what? I'm just going to be a game streamer.
Yeah. And I mean, luckily for her, it's actually working out quite well. But I'm not surprised. When the second I kind of clicked in, like, I thought classes were just going to go on hold.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to bother try to get every teacher on the freaking planet to be able to teach from home.
Yeah.
But they did. And that's amazing. But the second I heard that that was the thing, I was like, oh no.
Oh yeah.
Webcams, I don't think have a gigantic market. So when this happened, like, oh my goodness, supply chains were obviously not ready for that.
Yeah. Or like they do, but the upgrade cycle of that market is pretty slow. Like I think if you bought a webcam in the last 3 or 4 years,
they haven't bought another one.
Yeah, they haven't improved significantly in that
time. I was
going
to say, and with good reason, because they're not much better.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I really had to say about that was, like, thank you, doubters and haters. I actually nailed it, and my timing, if anything, was maybe even a little bit late, because I know there were some things that were already a little bit more challenging to find, even if the pricing hadn't necessarily been affected yet. But I would expect that there are still going to be things that are going to spike in pricing before this whole thing is over. And it won't necessarily be core components like DRAM, but it also could. And that was one of the points that I made in the video. I was like, look, Samsung just shut down the factory that makes, I forget what phone it was, but some phone, Z Flip, I think it was. They shut down that factory. It was only for a weekend, but like, this is not going to be the last time that something unexpectedly shuts down. So if you want some certainty, if you want to know how much things cost are going to cost, then you should do it now. And the thing that actually prompted me to be all like, haha, told you so about this, was the comments on the stream that I did, I think it was 2 weeks ago on a Friday. It was an $800 Friday build stream. At the time we spec'd that machine, it was $800, give or take. I think we ended up with the RGB version of the case instead of the regular one, so it was like a bit more or something, but it was about $800. And the comments on that video are full of people who have clicked down below, followed all the links, and are like, this is like $1,000. I'm like...
I mean, that sucks. I shouldn't laugh, but it's kind of funny that the point was proven, I guess.
Yeah, and... You know what?
You can't predict the future. So. Yeah,
what do you guys want from me? All I can, when I title a video, all I can title it is what it is today. I can't title it what it is tomorrow. Like I can't, you know what I should do right now is I should go back and change the title of that video. Buy a computer right now. I'm going to change it to buy a computer 6 weeks ago. Because apparently that's the answer.
You should make like a follow-up video called don't buy a computer right now. Or something, and just go over like, look, this is what happened to the prices, and check out like average prices across different components across the stack.
Yeah, I wonder if we could do it like sponsored by Honey or something, because they've got their
discount
price history thing.
Oh yeah,
yeah. See, I'm always working them angles.
Oh, that's big brain.
Working them angles, big brain. Thank you for that. I hadn't had my daily dose of memes today. All right, should we talk through the, let's see. Ooh, do you want to talk through the new Steam controller patent?
Ooh.
Hey, remember that thing that you all thought was kind of crap and so we stopped making it? Hey,
this might be good for one game.
Here comes the sequel.
It could be kind of neat to play Civilization on your couch with a controller.
So the original source here is from Rock Paper Shotgun, and there's a patent filing that they found that seems to suggest Valve could be working on a new Steam controller, one that's more similar to an Xbox Elite controller. That would be good, because the Xbox Elite controller is really good, and the Steam really controller was really something.
Not good.
I don't know, if you played Civilization from the couch, then it was basically
your
only...
Great.
It was your only option other than like laying a gigantic keyboard lap thing across your couch. So,
yeah.
So the patent describes a gamepad receiver that includes housings for multiple kinds of input. I mean, I know that my receiver is ready for multiple kinds of input, if you know what I'm talking about. So I don't know if you can like patent that, but sure. So example, an analog stick could be easily put in. Instead of a directional pad. Yeah, inserted, depending on what feels best on a game-by-game basis. I'm just reading the notes the way they're written here, okay? Software within the pad would detect which input is currently plugged in and react accordingly.
It's sensitive to those types of changes. Yeah.
So it seems this would apply to inputs across the controller. Oh, multiple inputs. Wow, this is getting real edgy. Including the Steam controller's infamous Owl Eye trackpads. Oh, all right. It might even...
Is it two circles?
Yeah, but you gotta like rub them just right with your two fingers, you know, like you gotta massage them. All right, so I think we're done here. Sounds neat. So it's like a modular gamepad. That's pretty cool. I just got a G Pro wireless and I keep accidentally hitting the back. I gotta just disable this button over here because I keep mashing it all the time. So I just went back in my browser. But I think there's one more topic that I wanted to get through. So there's a rumor that there's going to be some quad core Zen 2 CPUs.
Yes.
AMD may be secretly developing quad core CPUs based on its Zen 2 architecture to compete with Intel's looming 10th generation Comet Lake S Core i3 offerings, which feature hyper threading.
Oh my.
AMD's Ryzen 3000 series desktop CPU lineup started with the Ryzen 5 3600, which spans 6 cores and 12 threads. All right, blah, 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 blah. They never made a successor to the previous generation Ryzen 3s. There are two ways that AMD could spit out a quad-core Ryzen 3. They could salvage imperfect Ryzen 5 3600s and disable the defective CCX, or they could utilize an entirely new design where there's only a single CCX. Huh, interesting. That would be very, very low cost, but I wonder what the performance implications of that would be. A single CCX has 16 megs of level 3 and 2 megs of level 2 cache, and the leaker claimed that the Ryzen 3 3300X and Ryzen 3 3100 will come with clock speeds of 4.3 and 3.9 gigahertz, respectively. Those could be, like, freaking awesome gaming chips, actually. Like, a 4.3 gigahertz quad-core Ryzen would be fine for, like, a lot.
I was going to say, very effective for... Like one of the things that I liked about these processors was they were good for so many things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think you're narrowing yourself down a little bit. But if that is all that you do, you could probably save a lot of money and get a very similar experience.
Yeah. If that's all that you do, you got two options. You can go Intel or you can go like super cheap Ryzen 3. There you go.
That's cool.
And if you do anything else, then you can get a Ryzen 5, a Ryzen 7, or a Ryzen 9. There you go. Easy peasy. It's not that cut and dried. It's not like Intel's lineup doesn't have like higher performance options higher up in the stack. I'm just being an AMD fanboy right now. I'm role playing.
Okay.
What? I can be into role playing. There's nothing wrong with that, Luke. Don't judge.
No, don't judge. I'm not, you're good.
I detect you're your judgment over the internet lines.
You like.
Wow, I've got a chat here from Hellbringer. The chat is actually readable today. No, it isn't. How fast do you read? It's impossible.
Twitch chat's relatively readable.
Well, yeah, but Twitch chat's.
I guess
usually...
that was on YouTube.
So I think I'm just gonna go full time Twitch streamer. I've been getting anywhere from sort of 600 to 700 viewers playing Beat Saber. Which my understanding is pretty good for Beat Saber because nobody gives a fuck about Beat Saber. And then
and you also don't interact with the chat at all.
Yeah.
So you're just playing Beat Saber.
I do a little bit, actually. I take song requests in Beat Saber.
Oh, okay.
That's something. Yeah. I mean, I'm not consistent.
I left
consistent.
The Float Plane, which I'm currently watching on right now, by the way, but I left the Float Plane stream open after WAN show. And when you went live, I was off my computer for like a while after WAN show last week. And then I sat down and I put my headphones on and I could hear music. And it was that like Russian.
I know the one, Rasputin.
Yeah. And I was like, what is happening? Where is this coming from? How, like, I knew the song even, and I like the song. So it like didn't seem too out of whack for it to be like coming out of my headphones, but I knew that I hadn't listened to the song in a really long time and it sounded kind of weird. So
yeah.
I was like, what the heck is going on? And it took me a little while to like figure out that, oh, this is the Float Plane page was still open.
Nice. So how many viewers do you need to go full-time Twitch?
Well, I guess that it's not really viewers. It's based on subs. How many?
Yeah but I mean like average numbers. Would you know this? Would anyone in the
Probably
chat
not.
Know this? Okay, because I was managing to pull off between 1100 and 1300 on Anno, which I am convinced is a game that even fewer people care about.
Or would like to watch.
Wow. Can you be slightly less judgmental? Because I'm really feeling a lot more of your judgmental vibes here again.
I like watching Anno, but I think most people wouldn't. What? No, I do. I sat at your house and watched you play Anno for a while.
That's true, but I was like teaching you how to play. That's different.
That's fair. But I think it's also, I don't really watch Twitch. I wouldn't watch a random person play Anno on Twitch. I would watch you play Anno on Twitch.
Yeah, that's fair.
I like watching Colton's streams. I like watching Sprawl's streams, one of my friends. Okay. Like watching like my genuine friends. I'm not really a fan of
people.
I'm not a Twitch person.
People have no idea. A lot of people
it's
are like,
because it's all over the place. Yeah. It depends on what full time means for you in terms of financials. And there's a pretty huge variance in how many subscribers you get versus your viewership, depending on how consistently you stream,
right,
what categories you stream in, how big of a streamer you are, what type of rewards
like,
you
like
have
how big
or
of
don't
a streamer
have.
You are, or like, well, okay, so I've got a lot of people that are saying like 75, and it's like, no, I can tell you guys right now, you're not. You have a day job, or you should have a day job if you've got 75 concurrents.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. I lied. I'm not doing that. YouTube's better. Sorry, Twitch.
Obviously.
Sorry, Twitch.
I still, even I don't better. Know if I even want to say it on here because I still think it's a really, really awesome idea. But the... Here, one sec.
What is this? Are you sending this to me by chat first?
Oh, yes.
Uh-oh. All right. This is some top Keck secret, top secret Keck stuff right here. Man, he's thinking about his typing too. This is crazy. All right. I'm going to do a couple super chats while I wait for that top secret message to come in. Guys, don't send any more. I'm not doing any super chats that haven't already come in, and I won't even do all the ones that did come in. I don't even understand why people send super chats to this show. All right, Michael Kenny says, you know what hasn't happened in a while? Luke's mom. Wow. You got to make it a your mom joke. Why are you going to be like that?
It
specifically says Luke's mom calling in the middle of the show. It says, I missed that. Luke, you got to call your mom. You got to take care of your mom, okay?
Yeah. My mom and my girlfriend play Animal Crossing together.
That's hilarious. Yeah, if you want to hang out with Luke's mom, you just got to go check out Leafy Time, right? Planty Time.
Planty Time.
Orion Madsen says, I'm watching on Floatplane. Loaded the tab early. That's good stuff. Yeah, the site was down for a bit.
We're having some issues.
It's back up now. It's all good.
Also, I sent you this stuff on Discord.
Oh, so you did. Discord is worse. Can you send it on the other one?
Yes.
Jacob says, please make a video on the AC stuff. Oh, yeah. So I originally wasn't going to make a video because it's going to be super ghetto fabulous, and I don't want to like get in trouble with the city when they see the video, but I've done enough things on camera that the city wouldn't like, and they haven't gone after me so far that I figure, yeah, what's one more? So not only am I going to be making a video, I'm going to be bringing out the one and only Brian the Electrician. We're going to be maintaining our social distancing. I've already checked with him. He's been, his job is very isolated. So he's not really seeing people at work. And he said he's only like going to the grocery store. He's doing all the hand washing, all the 2 meter distance, all that good stuff. So as long as we're 2 meters away from each other, he's going to come hang with me for a little bit. And we're going to get some stuff installed together. So it'll probably be like, I do the, you know, downstairs stuff. He does the upstairs stuff, or I do the inside stuff. He does the outside stuff. We'll figure out some way to keep separate, but we're going to have some fun. We're going to install that thing. And it's going to be some classic Linus and Brian the Electrician good times. Okay, so what is this? Oh, that's a brilliant idea that I have no idea how we would technically implement. But yeah, I would probably not talk about that for now.
Yeah, I brought this up a long time ago and you had pretty much the same response. I still think it could be amazing.
I think it could be amazing too. Because, okay, so guys, time for some inside baseball. As an experiment, one of the reasons that I did that $800 build a couple weeks ago is that, how do I put this? Okay, I was testing something. Since the COVID situation, the CPMs, by the way, Luke, they get that ping every time you send me a message. So you might want to send consolidated messages rather than one line at a time.
I'll just stop. Yeah.
Thank you.
I have all my notifications for that turned off, so I don't even.
Yeah, I know. That's why you don't reply to my messages right away. all right. So anyway, so one of the reasons that I did that was because I had noticed ever since this COVID thing went down, there's been a significant drop in the CPMs. So the amount that you're getting paid per ads, or not per ad, so I should say RPMs. So the amount that you're getting paid per view on YouTube is significantly lower than last year. And it's been like kind of frustrating for me because last year, this time, was a big low for us. We had a really, really hard time for the first probably third of last year. I don't know what it was. I don't know if we ended up in a negative momentum cycle after uploading too many spammy videos during CES. The platform doesn't take that as well anymore. It used to be that you could just, you know, upload 60 show coverage videos in a week and then go back to normal the next week and it would be fine. Now it's just not that way. Whether it's the audience treating that kind of notification spam differently or whether it's the platform treating that kind of notification spam differently, it just doesn't fly anymore. So even though viewership is up almost double over this period last year, AdSense is up. It's up, but a fraction of that. It's like way, way lower than it would be if we were in the same situation as we were this time last year. So that's fine. I get it. Obviously that's a very first world problem. I'm lucky to even have a job to do at all. But what I had also noticed was that some of the videos that were performing best in that sense were long format live streams. And so I was like, hey, you know what, guys, let's throw together an idea for a live stream. Hey, you know what? There's a lot of people that are stuck at home. There's a lot of people that want a gaming rig, but don't necessarily have a ton of money to spend. Let's do a budget gaming rig and let's do it as a live stream rather than as like a build guide. And let's do it long format to see if that's still true. And I just looked back at it today and compared to normal videos last year, that one performed about the same as last year this time, whereas our regular uploads are way underperforming. So for some reason, again, I don't know how interesting this is to people watching at home, but long format, even though we don't do additional ad breaks. So I've had a lot of people, you know, leave snarky comments on our videos that are like 10 minutes and 20 seconds long. Oh, you guys had to get over that 10 minute limit. Actually, that 10 minute restriction is so that you can put in an ad break, but we don't inject YouTube ad breaks into our videos. We have our own sponsors that we put in everything, regardless of whether it's 10 minutes long. So the only reason that it was over 10 minutes long was because we felt that there were over 10 minutes of content. That's the only reason. But with this very long format stuff, even though we don't put in any ad breaks, it still seems to outperform the regular stuff. And I just don't really understand why. I don't know, man. Yeah, and no, it has nothing to do with YouTube Premium. That's separate.
There's a bunch of people in Twitch chat shouting Flow Plane right now. I do appreciate that. And yeah, that's relatively fixed how much they make from it. So, but yeah, so I think with everyone stuck at home, streams right now are really popular. I haven't looked into this, but it feels like the average viewership on stuff like Twitch has just been huge.
Stephen Ma wants to know who answers Craigslist emails. Usually Tyler. Sorry, totally. I wasn't responding to what you're saying at all. Sorry, I've been reading the chat. I'm trying to actually interact with the stream for a change.
Yeah, you're good. You're
good. Lakip says, hey, thanks for the show. At Linus, how's progress on your book? Actually, I'm glad you asked. Give me just one moment here. Let me just see here.
Would you pay a monthly fee for a browser? We talked about that last week, I think.
Yeah, we did talk about that last week.
Yeah.
Okay, I had an idea for a foreword. So I can read you an excerpt from what may or may not end up in the foreword of the book. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And I have not actually looked at this since I jotted it down while I was like in a half conscious state on a plane. So I apologize in advance if it's not very good. Foreword idea. This is just a concept. If I was a total sellout, I'd have structured this as an inspirational story about how anyone can do it if they try hard enough and a collection of tips to help you achieve what I have. But then if I wasn't interested in making money, I wouldn't bother writing a book at all. It's a pretty transparent cash grab from my perspective. That's been the fine line that I've walked throughout my career. I'm not the kind of person who hides behind the I do this out of passion line. From day zero, when I was asked by my boss to start making YouTube videos, I've been paid to do this as a job. Now, to be clear, I was chosen for the assignment because of my genuine passion for technology, and I was only ever good at it because of that passion. But I also never would have started making YouTube videos without a bonus on my paycheck. So back to the book for a minute. why did I write this? For the money. But if I didn't care about creating it, it wouldn't be any good. So did I sell out? I guess you'll have to read it to find out.
I like it. I personally, I would appreciate that if that was at the beginning of the book, because I like that type of kind of blunt honesty, I guess.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, and I think it's it makes me trust what you're going to write in the rest of the book more and believe it.
The only way that I would write a book is if I could be that honest, because otherwise, what's the value of it? Like, if I wanted to make money, I could just go sell out to some, you know, some of the, I mean, we reject brand deals all the time because we look at them and we go, look, we can't do that. You know, we take the ones that we think make sense. So if
okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Someone put a suggestion in Twitch chat, Nano Remen, .. But first, a message from our sponsor. If you got a legit sponsor
for the book,
put a sponsor spot at the bottom of that statement. I think that would be hilarious.
I would love it. Okay. Have to have
I actually think that would be so funny.
Sponsor for the foreword. I should just have every chapter be sponsored.
Did I sell out? Wait to find out. But first, Savage Jerky.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. I would love that.
Night 412.
All the chapter titles were just like
brought to you by Squarespace, brought to you by Savage Jerky, brought to you by Manscaped.
Oh my goodness.
Lordy. So, sorry, who's this? So did you wait? Where is it? Yeah, Ripster says, I'll take a copy. Joe says, tell me when the book's out. I think I'll pick it up. Michael says, I think I'd read that book. Yeah, pretty much. there is no book. That is literally all that I have written. Oh, wait, no. Wow. I actually have a lot of stuff in here. Where did I come from? Talk about, like, my families. Wow. Oof. I've got a lot of stuff in here that I really shouldn't talk about. Why do I have this in here? All right. Wow. Yeah, there's some super weird stuff. There's some super weird stuff in me, in me, yes, in me, in here. But it's everything in there is me. So I guess it's both. Pablo says, D-Man says, I don't read, but I'd probably buy your book. Okay. You're doing it wrong.
Well, you could have an audiobook.
Straight up. Oh yeah. I guess I could. No one would want to listen to an audiobook narrated by me though. You can narrate.
I would. Okay. Oh yes. I would absolutely do that. I'm 100% down.
With commentary?
Yep, sure. Or not. Whatever. I'm fine being 100% like, true to the book.
Blah, 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 blah. You know, this is bullshit, you know? Like. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Mike asked, why was Floatplane broken? It was beyond our control. There was nothing we could do about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was an outside service that was having some...
Well, something was done to fix it, but... Yeah, there was some derpery on an outside service.
Tragicmagwanic. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce that. Greetings from Brantford, Ontario. I think you actually spelled Brantford wrong. That's embarrassing. oh no, okay, apparently there is a Brantford. Is there also a Brantford, Ontario? Hold on a second. I mean, I if I'm going to accuse someone of spelling their city wrong, I should probably at least find out if they were right. And I was totally wrong. There is a T in Brantford, in fact. All right. Good job, person who legitimately actually lives there, for spelling your city right. And shame on me for not knowing how to spell a city across the country.
We'll give you the credit, though, for checking after you snapped.
Oh, yeah. Got to check that stuff. Are there plans for LTT to review displays most suitable to the PlayStation 5's output? Once we know the final specs, basically any display that is good will be good. And any display that is not so good will be less good than the one that is good.
And that's a free tech tip.
That's a free tech tip, free of charge. Actually, it cost him $10, but that's minor details.
We're doing super chat. Yeah.
Just get
that's
an OLED.
A $10 tech tip.
Get a B series OLED. That's the way to go. It's the pro move right now.
They are wonderful.
Colin says, just got to say, even if it's off topic, the beard is amazing. Yeah, your beard's amazing, Luke.
Yours, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Colin was talking to me just because my beard's new, not because it's more amazing. We actually established last show that mine is less amazing than Luke's.
I still actually think in terms of like evenness and how it's grown in and all that kind of stuff, I would still vote for yours. Mine is really messy.
No,
I partially because I haven't cleaned it up.
Gap here. There's like a big gap on this side. It's like pretty brutal, actually.
I've got multiple. Here we go. Yeah, but where's my own screen?
You got this. You got this.
I can't. Okay. Is it a little better now?
That's not a gap, though.
I also have this thing.
Okay, that's true, but that's like under your neck.
Yeah. It's better now. I used to have a gap right here as well.
Okay. You have areas where it's thinner, but I've just got like this like dime size like gap. And it's not on the other side, it's just the one side.
Oh no, I used to have that on this side.
Oh really?
I don't know if it's because I've been growing it out and then trimming it down long enough that right. area finally grew in, or if I'm just like older now. I don't know which one.
Noros Guru for you says sending love from Japan. Why, thank you. Hopefully it's not like a super kinky kind of love. Or maybe that would be good. Oh. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Robert suggests just use Google results between date function in order to search for information about a given Apple product. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. That is an entirely unnecessary solution to a problem we never should have had. Casey says, love all things LMG. You guys rock. Task 1337, whatever. I bought the original SE the day it launched and still use it. The battery is 1600 milliamp hours once replaced. Oh, replaced it once. And it easily lasts me the whole day. Well, maybe you wouldn't have had to replace it if they'd put a decent sized battery in it, just saying. They also say not everyone has 5 to 6 hours of screen on time, and that's fair. But I still think it's better to just build in a little bit of room for battery degradation since it's not easily user replaceable. Justin says, just hoping you read this out loud. Your content is always so entertaining. Hoping to go to my first LTX this year, fingers crossed. Thanks. We will have an update for you on that very soon. Hopefully you are happy with it. What else we got here? Okay. Oh man, there's a lot of them today. Okay, no more guys. Don't send any more. The guy eating cake says, great job, Linus. This show is so much better than Awesome Hardware. Paul and Kyle have too many problems with a crashing streaming PC. Please help them. I am the last person who should help them with their streaming problems. The last. And Luke is the second last. You're muted, Luke.
There we go. Sorry. I was going to say, though, that your streams have been functioning completely fine since they've been on your own computer at home.
Yeah, I know, right?
There is something cursed about the stream PC.
We did have that audio issue today that did seem a little bit ghosts.
That was only once we switched to Discord.
Oh, that's true, actually. We were fine when we were
because we were set up for a different chat service, and I pulled the rug out on us last minute because... Teams does this weird auto gain thing, so I wanted to avoid that.
You know what's really funny? How strongly we have both been conditioned to not talk about what video chat service we're using ever since the Skype resolver issue that resulted in us getting DOS attacked every time we talked about Skype.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah. Oh, that was hilarious. Horrible.
Yeah, I still get like, I don't know how to even describe it. Like anxiety, even opening Skype.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, what? This is bad.
What if somebody sees my Skype username and then I can't use my internet for the next day?
Yeah, exactly.
So dumb. I can't believe how long that was broken for. It's just
very long
time. Embarrassing. Like utterly embarrassing. $100 super chat. Jason Sintich says, to all at the WAN show, I need to say thank you for moving the title bar to the bottom of the screen. I was just messing with the guy that sent that last week. I ended up moving it back down. I did move it back down. But you know what I did? My silent protest. You guys can probably see this.
There's a tiny little gap.
I left one pixel. I left one pixel at the bottom.
You can mainly see it when your hand passes.
Silent protest, all right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. thank you again for tuning in to the WAN show. We will see you again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Was there anything you wanted to talk about, Luke, or are we done?
I don't think so. Flowplane's cool and awesome, and there's hopefully some new creators that are going to be joining soon. We're in talks with some peeps. There's been some suggestions from you guys as well. I really appreciate that. You can like tweet at me or email support if you have any creators that you think would be a good fit, and we can try to reach out. Crisis. Yeah, okay. So I didn't see this in the doc.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think we do kind of have to talk about that, don't we? Oh, lordy. That's
we have no notes for this at all, but freaking Crisis.
Yeah, hold on. No. Crisis, what is it? Remaster? Is that what they're calling it?
Crisis Remastered.
Okay.
Yep.
So basically, there's no information. There's just like this video. Okay, so hold on a second. I just
got I haven't seen the video.
No, it's utterly useless. Okay, just 1 second. I'll bring in a window capture. Yeah, sure, that window's good. Okay, here we go. Let's play the video. This is over on Forbes. There you go. So there's a bunch of comments. It'd be awesome to see a remake of Crisis. Blah 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 blah. And then there's this. Okay. And that was it.
Wow, that's really short.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically the biggest like tease ever, and they should be ashamed for behaving in that manner. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. It's I don't know.
What don't you know? You don't know if they're actually making a game, because that could just as easily be nonsense.
Basically, they do say it's coming to PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and to the Switch, of course.
I could say anything. Oh, coming to the Switch. Wait, what? What's it going to run at? Like 300p?
That's actually concerning.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I kind of wish it wasn't.
Like remastered, pre-rendered cutscenes. Like, I don't even think this... Like, I don't think
you get to watch the Crisis movie if you buy it on Switch.
Crisis movie.
It just automatically finds the Twitch stream with the highest viewer count.
Yeah, and just connects you to it.
There. Good luck. You can watch this.
All right. All right. That was it, guys. Thanks for watching. All right. You know what? Why don't we stream bomb whatever her name is, that lady.
Planty time?
Yeah, might as well.
All right. Here we go.
Go say hi to Emma, ladies and gentlemen.
She's a little bit more of a weathered streamer now.
A weathered streamer? I'm going to tell her you said that. Weathered? I think you mean seasoned.
There we go.
She's weathered. Guys, let her know she's weathered, please. All right? Just be like, Luke says you're looking weathered, lady.
I did not say looking.
Well, you said she... Well, weathered is a look. I mean, that's a look. That's not like a sound. You don't sound weathered.
But I mean in her ability. Is that good?
Her that's not ability good. Is that weathered? Good. Your ability is weathered.
But she's no, like weathered the not storm, better. You know? Because she went
so
from
she looks
three
like
viewers,
she was in a storm.
I didn't say look. None of this has been about appearance. She went from three viewers to 3,300.
Yeah.
And that was very, like, surprising.
Chat says you're not doing any better. And basically you're not getting any sex tonight. But keep on digging. It's great. We like it.
What's your... I did not say you were weathered.
Yes, he did. Yes, he in
I
fact
said, I
did.
I said you were a bit... I said you might do better because you're more of a weathered stream, and I meant like experience.
This is kind of hard to watch. Like, it's kind of pathetic. Luke, you got to stand up for yourself,
I think I'm
man.
In trouble.
If you're going to say something, stand behind it, okay? Okay? Be a man. And thanks for watching.